Welcome to Our Shepherd's View, an in-depth discussion with the Most Reverend Mario Alberto Aviles, Bishop of the Catholic Diocese of Corpus Christi. Join us now as Bishop Aviles shares his thoughts and reflections on this week's gospel, as well as other issues and events happening in the diocese.
Good morning, and welcome to Our Shepherd's View. I am Jesse DeLeon, here with Father Richard Libby, the pastor of St. Helena of the True Cross of Jesus, on this fifth Sunday of Easter. Good morning, Father. How are you?
I'm doing well, Jesse. Thank you. How are you?
Doing well. Glad to be here with you again as we continue our ministry of Our Shepherd's View here. And we welcome everyone listening, whether they're listening online or they're listening to the stream this morning. Father, if you would proclaim today's gospel for us.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to his disciples, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. You have faith in God, have faith also in me. In my Father's house there are many dwelling places. If there were not, would I have told you that I am going to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back again and take you to myself, so that where I am, you also may be. Where I am going, you know the way." Thomas said to him, "Master, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way?" Jesus said to him, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you know me, then you will also know my Father. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." Philip said to him, "Master, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us." Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you for so long a time, and you still do not know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own. The Father who dwells in me is doing his works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me, or else believe because of the works themselves. Amen, amen, I say to you, whoever believes in me will do the works that I do, and will do greater ones than these, because I am going to the Father." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Very dramatic gospel here, offering trust. Jesus is offering trust amid a lot of uncertainty that the disciples are feeling, maybe some feeling of anxiety that he's calming down, and of course, he's preparing for his departure.
Mm-hmm.
And some interesting revelations we have from this, Father, if you would care to share your reflection on today's gospel.
Well, Jesse, I find this gospel very moving because, as you said, Jesus preparing for his own death and resurrection. This was spoken to the apostles. This took place on Holy Thursday,
mm-hmm.
after the Last Supper. Now, Jesus has told the apostles many times what was going to come, and they hadn't quite got it yet.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't quite get it. But nevertheless, Jesus, knowing full well what lay ahead within the coming hours, knowing full well that he would be arrested within a few hours, said to the disciples, "Do not let your hearts be troubled." Okay, just those words, "Do not let your hearts be troubled." He knew that they were going to run and hide. He knew, you know, the arrest and the torture and everything else that awaited him. And yet he told them, okay, "Do not let your hearts be troubled." Here's one of the last things he said to them before his arrest. And then later, the first thing, as we know, he said to them after he came back from the dead was, "Peace be with you."
Mm-hmm.
And so this speaks to us of what Jesus offers us. Jesus is not about doom and gloom. He is not about fire and brimstone. He is not about punishment. He's certainly not about revenge. Jesus is about our being at peace. He wants us to be at peace, the peace that only he can give. And here's Jesus speaking such calming, soothing words, knowing what's ahead. Okay, no, there's going to be no earthly source for that level of peace, all right? But Jesus offers it to us. And so he told the apostles not to let their hearts be troubled. He had so great was his love for them, his closest friends, that he said, "Do not let your hearts be troubled." Maybe they're wondering, okay, why is he saying that?
Right.
Why would our hearts be troubled? Well, Jesus knew. And he was telling them that he was going to go away, but then he was going to come back. They didn't quite understand what that meant.
Mm-hmm.
But Jesus said, "I'm going to prepare a place for you." and then I will come back and again and take you to myself, so that where I am, you also may be." The apostles, at least these who, sadly, Judas had already turned against him and was not at the table at this time, but the others were, and Jesus is telling them this, okay? He's looking forward to taking them to himself so they could be with him always, okay? That's how much he valued them as friends. And it's good for us to read this passage and reflect on this passage as if the you that he's speaking of here, "You have faith in God, have faith also in me. Do not let your hearts be troubled. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back again and take you to myself." I think it's good for us to think of it in terms of, this is Jesus speaking to me. Yes, he spoke it to his apostles the night before he died. But when we read this passage, everything he said to them, he means for us too. So much does he love us. He doesn't want our hearts to be troubled. He wants us to have faith in him. He wants to prepare a place for us. Okay, he has already gone down into death and risen from the dead. And then each of us in our proper time, he wants to take us to himself.
And that sense of reassurance, especially speaking to us now, of course, we go back in time and history, and there have always been episodes and instances of turbulence, of not feeling so secure, not feeling at peace, but he offers that eternal peace to us, his eternal peace to be with us no matter what's going on around us. And I think that something that, as you said, if we put ourselves in the gospel, we put ourselves as a recipient of what he's saying, that intimacy, that connection that he offers us is something that we can connect with the words that he uses later where he says, "I am the way." And that's a word that we've heard him refer to himself many times. But in putting ourselves in the situation, as you said, and finding that personal connection, we're able to be led to the kind of peace that he's talking to us about, to not let ourselves be caught up in all the things that happen in the world, so to speak, and to aspire to be in union with him in that way.
Right, exactly. It's, you know, it's something that I always like to remind my parishioners, no matter what's going on in the world, God is still in charge, okay? We might lose sight of that a little bit. We see many things happening in the world, not only today, but in other times too. We see many things happening in the world that clearly are not in accord with God's will, and we see that going on. We wonder what's going to happen. We wonder how it's all going to shake out, and we just need to remember God is still in charge. And so when you find those things getting to you, it's a great idea to open this gospel passage, John chapter 14, starting in verse 1. Jesus said to his disciples, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. You have faith in God. Have faith also in me." That's great reassurance.
He does challenge us to be active in our faith as well. That kind of peace, achieving that, isn't something that just is automatic. We have to do a little bit of work. We have to come to the table and understand that there are certain things, certain steps that we have to take, or certain things that we need to accomplish within ourselves to be open to that kind of peace and to be able to be that peace for others. I think that's another thing too, where you've got people that may be in our lives that are negative, or they kind of don't bring peace. They sort of bring things a little bit more chaotic or disorders, a sense of that to our lives. To holding on to these words, as you said, and referring back to this gospel, offers us that opportunity to be active in our faith, but also to be able to embody that peace that Jesus is calling us to.
Yes. When Jesus says this, it's not as if he's, we should understand, when Jesus says, "You have faith in God, have faith also in me," you kind of referred to this. We can't just say, "Oh, okay, it's all right then," and just go off and do whatever we want. No, having faith in Jesus requires something of us, as you said. But those things that it requires of us, those things that the church asks us to do, in terms of becoming educated in the faith to the proper degree, and in terms of practicing the faith and taking part in the sacramental life of the church and everything like that, those are all things that do bring us closer to Jesus. It's not that we have to do them because if we don't, God will get mad at us. It's
right.
It's not like that. It's that Jesus is asking us to do that. He's offering these things to us. Well, why do I have to go to confession? To use one example. Well, don't you see, it's not so much that you have to go to confession, but Jesus is offering you forgiveness. And if you will come and confess your sins and be truly sorry for them, he will give you his forgiveness and wipe your slate clean. And that's a great way to have that peace that he's offering.
And that peace that he's offering that you speak of, we may not realize that we carry that sense of maybe anxiety within us mm-hmm. because of unconfessed sin or not having been to confession in a number of years for some people. But making that step, as we were talking about earlier, it seems for some people to be a bit of a challenge at first. Mm-hmm. But once it's done, and you being a priest, you see them when they leave the confessional, they're uplifted. They don't have that heaviness on their shoulders anymore. And that will lead them to the kind of peace that Jesus is offering us here,
That's
too.
Right. That's right. It's as if we go to the cross and imagine carrying a backpack full of, you know, heavy books, okay? And that heaviness represents your sinfulness. And you're tired from carrying it, and you don't want to carry it anymore. So you go to the cross, you kneel down in front of the cross, and you take it off, and you just leave it at the foot of the cross. And Jesus says, okay, get up and go on your way. Okay? That's what we're doing.
Right.
Okay? And it is a tremendous relief, and it's a real blessing.
And when we learn about the sacrament of reconciliation when we're young, it seems a little bit intimidating, even for us as we get older. Mm-hmm. Or we may approach it with a little bit of anxiety, maybe a little bit of reservation, but it all serves a purpose. Mm-hmm. And in getting to where Jesus is calling us in this gospel to take those steps and to realize that some of us that have gone to confession when we were younger, lifelong Catholic, whenever we went to confession the first time, no matter how long it's been since we've been the last time, we know what we need to do. Mm-hmm. And it's just a matter of embracing that moment to forgive ourselves, to forgive others, to be forgiven. And then the peace that sort of is a domino effect, once you come out of that confessional, maybe you are able to offer forgiveness to others in that mm-hmm. same way, and it begins to bear fruit in your life, peaceful fruit, if yes. there is such a thing, to be able to really embrace what that offers us in our lives and away from all of the anxiety that we carry when we have unconfessed sin.
That's true. And of course, Jesus tells us elsewhere that he wants us to do that. If, as he is merciful to us, he wants us to show mercy to others. That's a very beautiful message for Divine Mercy Sunday, which we just recently had.
Right, exactly.
That's at the very heart of it. But you know, mercy is not for just one day, that one day of the year. It's something that we should practice always, and we should take advantage of it always. In the sense that Jesus is offering it to us, and so we should take him up on his offer, and then we should turn around and be merciful to others in return.
That's a beautiful thought, Father. Thank you for that. You're listening to Our Shepherd's View. We're going to take a short break, and we will be right back. Welcome back to Our Shepherd's View. I am Jesse DeLeon, here with Father Richard Libby on this fifth Sunday of Easter. Father, we were discussing today's gospel and talking about how Jesus offers us a cure for our troubled hearts. And before the break, we were discussing forgiveness, the importance of finding that kind of peace that Jesus offers us, and forgiveness and confession, just a couple of things to do to reach that, to aspire to that type of peace.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and this was before Jesus, of course, had instituted that sacrament, but it was not before Jesus had forgiven sins. We saw Jesus doing that several times in the Gospels, mm-hmm. sometimes to the criticism of the Pharisees. Only God can forgive sins.
Right.
But if God can forgive sins, and of course he can, God can also give that power to others. And to do it in his name, that is, not arbitrarily or anything like that, but do it in his name. And the beautiful thing about that is that when you go to confession, you actually hear the words, your sins are forgiven. Okay, you actually hear those. Okay, it's, you know, some people say, well, I just confess directly to God in my room before I go to bed. Yes, but when you go to confession, you say, I did A, B, and C, and you hear, your sins are forgiven. Like they're gone at that point, as if you had not committed them almost. And so that's one of the beauties of the sacrament of reconciliation. And you do feel that peace, and then Jesus encourages you, and by his own example, he's inspired us to extend that peace to others, that mercy. You know, just again, within a day after this passage, which I proclaimed earlier, that Jesus spoke to the apostles at the Last Supper. Within a day, Jesus was crucified, and he was on the cross. And one of the thieves crucified alongside of him just said to him, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus said, this day you will be with me in paradise. And so this man who had lived a very disordered life, a life of what we would consider a life of crime, we don't know that much about him, but we do know that he was being put to death for his crimes. And he, at the end of his life, in his last moments, he accepted responsibility. You'll recall the one thief was mocking Jesus. If you're the Messiah, why don't you save yourself and us? And the other one said to him, we are suffering for what we have done, mm-hmm. but this man has done no wrong. He stood up for Jesus, and they said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus promised him paradise. That man's sorrow in his last hour or so was sufficient to gain him salvation, and he was in heaven that same day. Now, if Jesus can do that, what sins can you or I or anyone else ever commit that Jesus can't forgive?
Right. And that's a beautiful moment, too, because in that very, very memorable moment in Jesus' passion, he's on the cross, and of course we hear those two voices, mm-hmm. the voice of the one saying, hey, get us out of this situation if you say you're the Son of God, and then the other one saying, no, we deserve to be here. He doesn't deserve this. Mm-hmm. It's almost like those voices, we've sort of gone mm-hmm. back and forth in our own minds sometimes, and mm-hmm. Lord, why can't you get me out of this? Wait a minute, hold on. Mm-hmm. Maybe what I've done has put me here, or my circumstances have led me here, guide me out of it. And having that awareness of that other, of the one that was crucified on his other side that said, today you'll be with us in paradise, the reward is there for us if mm-hmm. we choose to allow ourselves to be guided in that way. And again, getting back to what we spoke about in the first segment, that's another avenue toward Jesus's peace for us, to be able to share that kind of, I admit what I've done wrong, and the peace that comes from the forgiveness. Ultimately, like you say, no one can forgive the way Jesus does, and there's nothing that we can do that won't be forgiven if we come to him wholeheartedly.
Right, right. And, another thing I like to tell my parishioners is that Jesus would rather forgive your sins than punish them, okay? He's like the father in the parable of the prodigal son who sees his son coming at a distance as if he's waiting for him.
Right.
Okay. And so Jesus sits in the confessional and he waits for you. Okay. Through the person of his priest, of course. But he sits there and he waits for you. And then when you go and you make a good confession, as I said, you hear the words, your sins are forgiven. And you have just confessed your sins to somebody who cannot reveal them for any reason whatsoever. Mm-hmm. And I mean no reason whatsoever. And so what you've said in the confessional stays there and is not to be brought up again. And then you rise from there and you go forth, without carrying that burden anymore.
And as we said earlier, this maybe sense of uncertainty that our sins may cause us, or that anxiety, all these things that Jesus spoke to us about in this passage that you read earlier, offering that peace, it connects everything with that. But also he shows us that he is the way, the truth, and the life, mm-hmm. and words that we've heard before. But on this fifth Sunday of Easter, we kind of dig a little bit deeper into that, the way, the truth, and the life, things that we may always recognize, but sometimes not knowing that he is the pathway along which we all are called mm-hmm. to travel together. Mm-hmm. Some of us may be further back than others, mm-hmm. but still we're heading in the same direction.
Yes.
And offering that idea for a bit more reflection. How do we take that with us, Father, into our week from today and put that into practice?
Well, Thomas asked Jesus, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way? And Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. So he was telling Thomas and the other apostles, I am the way. In other words, if you want to get to heaven, you're going to get there through me. And the way you have seen me live, that is the way you are to live. Okay? I am the truth. So Jesus doesn't only preach the truth. He is the truth. There is nothing false in Jesus. There is nothing contradictory in Jesus, self-contradictory. Jesus proclaims the truth, always in love, of course, but Jesus proclaims the truth, but then he lives it. And so there is a coherence between the things he said and the things he did. There was nothing hypocritical about him. So everything about him was and is true. And then he is the life. And so if we walk in the way that Jesus has taught us, and we believe in the truth that he has taught us, and I should also say, if we walk in the way that he is the way. If we believe in the truth, okay, not only everything he taught, but everything he is, if we believe in the truth that he is, we will inherit the life, the eternal life that he is. Okay, he came to bring us eternal life, And when we receive his life, especially when we starting in baptism, of course, and then it gets added to along the way in various ways, it's always restored by the sacrament of reconciliation. But when we receive Jesus' life, okay, he's giving us a share. It's also like we're grafted onto him. Like if you can imagine a plant in your garden, that you're grafting one thing onto another. We're grafted onto him, mm-hmm. become part of him, and he becomes part of us. And then it's not only our own lives, not only our own lives anymore that we're living, but we're living the life that Jesus Christ has given us and the life that he is.
That's a beautiful explanation, Father, because that gives us an opportunity to see that not only is he the truth, but he embodies it. Mm-hmm. He's living proof of the truth, if you will. Mm-hmm. And in following him and in recognizing that and in seeing him at work in the sacraments, seeing him at work through the work that the priests do and the different lay people also in the diocese that are called to work, all these things lead us down the way to him. Mm-hmm. And it's a journey that continues. But even when we lose our footing, even when we fall maybe away from where we're going, he still is there to help mm-hmm. lead us back, as we said, through not only the sacrament of reconciliation, but also our own awareness. Mm-hmm. I say, I have to go back, whether if you haven't been back mm-hmm. to church in a while, or whether it's maybe serving in other ways. These are opportunities for us to be in line with him and to follow him. And it's such a beautiful combination, because really, the way you explained it, you can't have one without the other. The mm-hmm. way, the truth, and life mm-hmm. are all beautifully interwoven.
Exactly.
And in doing that, we were able to carry that away into our week and beyond, going mm-hmm. On this fifth Sunday of Easter. As we come to the close of our program, Father, any other final thoughts before we end today?
Those two passages out of this whole passage have always struck me. The first is it's such a beautiful way that Jesus, knowing full well what lay ahead, said, "Do not let your hearts be troubled." So, you know, I want to suggest that to anyone and everyone who's listening to this during this coming week, no matter what happens, no matter what trials and difficulties you face, do not let your hearts be troubled. Is that easier for me to say than it is for anyone else to do? Yes, of course
right,
it is.
Right.
But what does Jesus say after that? You have faith in God, have faith also in me. So even if we do find some kind of hardship, some kind of trial, some kind of tribulation during this coming week, we have to remember that Jesus is right there with us in it. And we're actually helping him carry his cross. Okay. And so those words are very moving to me because Jesus spoke them just before he himself was arrested. And then again, at the end, Jesus said, "I am the way and the truth and the life." So we want to walk in the way that is Jesus, believe the truth that is Jesus. And in that way, we will inherit the life that is Jesus. And thanks to his church and thanks to his sacraments, we're already partakers in that life.
We are. Father Richard Libby, thank you so much. Father Libby is the pastor over at St. Helena of the True Cross of Jesus. Thank you for being with us today, Father.
My pleasure.
If you would now end with a prayer and a blessing.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. God, our Heavenly Father, we ask you to give us peaceful and calm hearts during this coming week, no matter what may happen. And we ask you to keep us focused on walking in the way that your Son is, and believing the truth that he is, and coming to the fullness of life that he is in your heavenly kingdom. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be. World without end. Amen.
Amen.
May Almighty God bless you all in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
This has been Our Shepherd's View with the Most Reverend Mario Alberto Aviles, Bishop of Corpus Christi. Our Shepherd's View is a production of 89.5 KLUX and the Diocese of Corpus Christi Office of Communications and Public Relations. You can hear the podcast of this program at goccn.org. Thank you for listening.